If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Parents, summertime is almost here. Enroll your child in the Bethel Deliverance International Church Summer Program, Camp Bethel. Camp Bethel features swimming, karate, barbecues, daily meals and snacks, and trips to places including Hershey Park, Camel Beach, and Ellis Island. Enrollment has begun, so don't delay. Call 215-885-2585 for more information, or visit us online at betheldeliverance.org.
Forgive. We do not earn God's blessings by forgiving one another. So don't think that God owes you anything when you forgive. All right, Lord, I forgave everybody for what they did to me. Now bless me. God looks at you and says, excuse me? I never gave out rewards for getting good grades in school. Shanina used to bring home beautiful report cards. I never gave her money for A's. Never gave her money. Say, well, how did you motivate her to do well in school? I used to show her the one ads. I did. I used to get the Sunday paper and show her the one. I said, see these jobs over here? They're for kitchen workers, cooks, and waitresses. That's what you get if you don't have a good education. But you see these jobs over here? These are lawyers and administrators, and these are the people with the six figures. They have good education. You don't need a dollar from me. You need to keep in your mind, I don't want to be flipping hamburgers for the rest of my life. So God is sitting in heaven saying, why should I bless you for forgiveness when it's being done for you? Much of the stress that God's people are under is because they're just angry. Just, and I'm going to use the colloquialism. It's not a clinical term. It's not even a legitimate psychological term. Just mad. The Bible doesn't say be mad. It says be angry, but don't sin. So anger can come, but release it. Don't hold on to it. Why? Because it turns into bitterness. I'm going to make Fatal Attraction part of our curriculum so that you'll understand bitterness. Michael Douglas has a little tryst with Glenn Close, and it's hot and it's passionate. He figures, okay, now I'll just compartmentalize you, and that's it. Glenn says, oh, you don't think that you're just going to do this to me and then leave? That was the warning that I'm going to become bitter. And she became bitter. She stalked him. She hunted him down. She found his phone number after he changed it. She poured acid on his car. She boiled the rabbit. She abducted the child, all because she was bitter. Now think with me. She knew after all these actions, he wasn't going to be with her anymore. And there was some past hurt in her. And so many of you sit here today with past hurts that the Lord has not closed because you have not forgiven. If God were to heal you with that bitterness in there, it's like the doctor sewing up your wound with dirt in it. It's going to get infected. But the good doctor probes the wound. He looks to see if there's anything there. And then he uses saline solution to irrigate it, to wash out whatever is there. They have to prepare your skin for the sutures. There are people that hurt you in your life, but they should never direct your responses. You should never respond to them the way they hurt you. And so you sit here today, maybe so busted. Forgive. Let it go. Here's what you do. The prison is too crowded. Open the gates and declare an amnesty. Let everybody out. Just let everybody out that hurt you. Just open up the gate. Here you go. Everybody out. You're all furloughed. I don't have room for you anymore. I want the power and the presence of God. Everybody out. Everybody that hurt me. I want Jesus. Everybody out.
everybody. I'm taking all of you to the cross and drop you off. Young man loved his father and his father loved him. Father loved him so much, he took him up to Fifth Avenue in New York to Salvatore Ferragamo, and he bought him a dynamite coat. Bought him a lambskin leather coat that was all the way, it was a shaft leather coat. After he took him to Ferragamo and got him that coat, he took him down to Bottino's and he bought him some alligator shoes. When he got back home, his family, his mother and father were extremely fruitful. He had 11 brothers. He brought him back home, and the brothers looked at that coat, and they said, man, where'd you get that coat from? I said, Daddy took me up to Fifth Avenue to Salvatore Ferragamo. And I said, did you like it? So, yeah, Daddy always thought you were the best. And they were jealous of that coat and jealous of that relationship. Then one day, a young boy came down. He said, I got a word for you. The brother said, what kind of word? Say on. Said, you know, I saw this vision, and there was 7 televisions or 11 televisions, and I only had one little 19-inch, and you guys had 78-inch curved ultra-high-definition Samsungs. And so your 78-inch curved ultra-high-definition Samsung at Best Buy saw my little 12-inch, and every one of you bent down and saw my 12-inch. They said, you lost your mind. Our top-of-the-line televisions ain't bowing down to you. He said, yes, they are. Yes, they are. Because that's my vision. And they became so enraged, they took him and threw him in a hole. Took his coat and threw him in a hole. Well, the oldest brother said, we can't leave him in there. That's not, come on, guys, that's our baby brother. No, let him stay in there and see if we bow to him. They said, no, let's take him out. Look, here comes some Midianites. Let's sell him to the Midianites. Let's sell him. Put him in that caravan. And they took him out and sold him and said, what are we going to do now? Tell Daddy he's gone. The Midianites took him in down to slavery and sold him, and Potiphar found him. He said, I like him. He seems like he has character. He can be a house slave. Took him into the house, and he was fine. He was a brown skin, wavy hair brother. Square his shoulders and a six-pack. And he walk around with just that toga on his sleeve and that loincloth on. And Mrs. Potiphar said, whoa, baby got back. And she said, come lay with me. And he said, I can't do that to my master. He has trusted me with his house. She came in another day. She said, look here, we ain't gonna do this again. She grabbed him by the cloak, and she must have been fine, because if she was bad looking, he wouldn't have run. She grabbed him, and he broke camp and ran out and left his toga. She was so incensed that when the master came home, she said, look what he did. I had to fight him off. Potiphar became incensed and said, go get that rascal and throw him into prison. While he's in prison, he has a couple of more prophetic episodes. God remembered him in prison. Pharaoh has this dream that he cannot decipher. And his baker says, there's somebody here that can interpret your dream. Says, send for him. Pulls him out of Greatford. Brings him to City Hall. And the mayor says, here was my story. Tell me what it meant. He tells him what it meant. He said, man, you got skills. I'm going to put you over everything. Sometime later, a famine comes into the land. And that once forgotten slave is put in a place of prominence because God remembered him. His brothers come to see him. He puts them through a series of tests. He wants to see his baby brother, Benjamin. He's not sure if their hearts have changed or if they're still as nasty as they were towards him. So he says, you go back and you get Benjamin. Bring him here. Bring your baby brother. They still don't know who he is, because you see, God can raise you to a point where even your outward appearance changes. God can so wash you that people say, you don't look like yourself no more. And so when he finally has them all together, he
He sees them in a room, having brought Benjamin back. He dismisses the entire Egyptian group, says, leave me with these Israelites. He walks before them, pulls off his coat, his cape, and says, I'm your brother, Joseph, whom you threw in a pit and sold into bondage. And he says something in that entire discourse that brings me to the startling realization that it is capable to forgive. He looks beyond their deeds of selfishness and he says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, that he might use the hardness of your heart to use me to save many people. And your nasty attitude has put me in a position to even help you. That's why you forgive. Because the God that you serve will take the harsh actions that were worked towards you and turn you into a blessing. He said, I don't hold no grudge against you. Now come on in, go get your families and come on in and live in my house. There's another man who came from a kingdom. And he looked over into this other kingdom and he saw it was filled with individuals who'd lost their way. They were living lives that were horrible, impoverished, sick, diseased, decadent, that ended in death. The king looked over at his son and said, you go and rescue them. Bring them over here. And the son went into that kingdom and he brought them life and light. He brought them water and bread. And they cursed him. And they beat him, and they crucified him, and they lied on him, and they said he was not who he said he was. While they crucified him, he uttered a statement that resonates through time and eternity. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. That cry echoes from 33 AD to 2015. Amen. That cry echoes from Golgotha's Hill to 2929 Cheltenham Avenue. That cry echoes into the deepest corners of your sin-filled life. That cry echoes into your meager existence. Our God stands ready to forgive you for any sin that you've committed. For there is no sin so deep that he cannot forgive. There is no pit so great that he cannot pull you up out of it. And all you have to do is ask. Stand with me.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number 04415P. Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.